This call is now being recorded.
Okay, so it's I'm here with Pastor Pete Wilson, and I get to sit down for a few minutes and talk to him about different books that he's written, what his role is right now in the church, and then any exciting things that he's got coming up. So, Pastor Wilson, thanks for being here first, and for spending your time with me.
Absolutely. It's an honor, man. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, a moment ago we got cut off. I was telling you that Brave Daily is essentially a hub of Christian resources for people on the go. So I kind of envision one website with multiple writers for pastors and lay peoples and those in the academia for them to keep up with what's being published, with new faith blogs that we're writing on our end. And really just try to keep in the know as you're balancing sermon prep and all that fun stuff as a pastor. So I think the conversation that the opportunity to sit and talk with you is relevant, and my prayer is that this can be beneficial for some folks listening that, that are trying to juggle all this stuff at the same time. So,
yeah, absolutely. And it is a juggle, you're right.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement. So tell me, and real quick, and those who will be listening in, tell us what you do, what your role is at the church, and then we'll talk about the books in a second here.
Yeah. Well, my role at Crosspoint these days is we started the church about 13 years ago, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I guess you could say founding pastor, but my main role these days comes down to teaching and leadership. We're a multi-site church, and so we have six different campus pastors that kind of lead each one of our campuses. And so my main job besides teaching is just really kind of pouring into discipling those campus pastors. And so that's really where I spend kind of the majority of my time.
Mm-hmm. So is it one camp or six campuses with one message, or are these different campus pastors?
Yeah, so our campus pastors do some teaching. And so, there's a handful of times a year that they're teaching, but primarily I'm teaching from what we call our broadcast campus, and then it's broadcast live to the other six campuses. It really kind of frees them up to focus the majority of their time on pastoring the people in their campus and leading their campus and not having to worry about writing a sermon.
Right. Yeah. And then you've also written books, so alongside preparing sermons and doing research and writing on that in that avenue, you've written a few different books over the years. So could you do like a 1,000-foot view? I think there's four. Maybe I'm wrong. So
yeah,
what have you written?
You're right. Yeah, the first book I wrote is a book called Plan B, which is all just about, what do you do when God doesn't show up in the way you thought God was going to show up. And so it kind of just deals with discouragement and how you navigate crisis and pain and all the things that inevitably we're all going to, face in this world. And then I wrote a book called Empty Promises, which really was kind of about idolatry, if you, kind of get to the heart of it. But it was just about all the different things that the empty promises that this world offers us. If you do this, you'll have purpose. If you do this, you'll be satisfied. If you do this, you'll be happy. And so many of these things we've chased after, and they are truly empty promises. There's nothing there. Then I wrote a book called Let Hope In, which really was kind of about this idea of, finding hope in your life by dealing with things from your past, and kind of talks about, your past is not really your past if it's still impacting the present, and how to kind of walk people through dealing with, a lot of their junk from their past so that they can move forward and hope. And then the latest book is What Keeps You Up at Night, and really it deals with fear and just the different things that, again, keep us up at night. Deals with worry and anxiety and how we can kind of navigate some of the different, fear-based things that we all face in life.
Yeah. So I want, that's kind of the one that I want to focus on a little bit in more detail. So I kind of envision if you were going from, you know, the first floor to the sixth floor in an elevator with someone, what's that book about? What keeps you up at night?
Yeah, I think the real heart of the book is that most of us don't have a fear problem. What we have is a faith problem. And that, you know, we tend to want to have more certainty. And I think a lot of us kind of bought into this idea that the more spiritually mature you become, the more certainty you're going to have in life. I think the reality is the more spiritually mature you become, the less certainty you need. And, it's, you know, how do you trust God when you don't have all the answers in front of you? And how do you, you know, move forward and trust when you're in the midst of uncertainty? And, so that's really kind of the guts of that book.
Yeah. This is just kind of a tangential question, but I was wondering, I haven't gotten into the book yet. I have a copy of it, and one of the things that caught my attention and actually my wife's too was your kind of the subtitle. And so it says how to find peace while chasing your dreams.
Yeah.
I feel like millennial generation or like, I mean, like anybody in our age, we're chasing after something. We think there's something greater, more so than what we have right now. So I was wondering, is there like, what does that subtitle mean as far as the book? Like what dreams or what chasing do you think that people do? And this, you might not have an answer for it, but I was just wondering, that caught our attention.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of chasing that we do, you know, and so much of it, so interesting. I think that passage in Ecclesiastes and where he's talking about, you know, all the accomplishments he had and everything that he had built, and you know, it's all said and done. He's like, it's just like chasing after the wind. He's like, it's nothing was gained under the sun. And I think that in almost every generation goes through this of society and culture promising you, again, if you chase after this, you know, if you get this title, if you make this amount of money, if you build up your platform to this size, you know, if your church gets this big, all these different things, that you'll have peace, you know, that you'll finally have purpose and significance.
Yep.
And so a lot of spend, you know, years chasing after these things, and some of us actually give them. And then you wake up one day and you're like, well, I still don't feel happy. I don't feel satisfied. I don't, you know, it truly is like chasing after the wind. There's no end. There's no wind to it. You just keep going and going and going. And
yeah.
I think it frustrates a lot of people, because they get there and it's like, well, there's no payoff to that. And so I think a lot of us are trying to figure out, you know, hey, there's gotta be a better way to do this, and there has to be a way, even in the midst of all this, to really be able to trust God in the midst of the uncertainty. And yeah, I think part of that for a lot of us is, you know, beginning to understand it's not so much, you know, what we do, you know, the bigger question besides, you know, what do you do with your life, is who are you becoming? And I think that's a really important question. Who are we becoming inside, you know, in our soul, where it really matters, in the depth of our soul, who are we becoming as human beings? And so I like to see that conversation going in that direction. I think it's really healthy.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask why you wrote the book as a whole. I got the 10,000-foot view of the book, and but I mean, I kind of understand why you wrote it. Do you have any practical advice, or like, I know I want to get people into the book. I want to get them to be excited to read it. Any practical advice that you can take from this book that maybe you apply or you can encourage pastors to apply? And the quote that sticks out on the back cover of the book, and I kind of want to give listeners a picture of this book, is the quote says, "I just can't seem to ever shut off my brain and rest."
Yep.
That's something that a lot of us, you know, wrestle with. We're always going and multitasking. Is there any practical advice that either you or something that you are instilling in those you're leading combat that?
Yeah, I'd say turn off your cell phone. That'll help a lot. But No, I think that, and this is really kind of the heartbeat of the whole book, is the goal here in this book is not to try to teach people how to fear less. Really, the whole goal is how do you trust God more? Again, we don't have the fear problem. What we have is the faith problem. And so you don't want the goal of your life to be a fear-free life. That's a pretty boring life. The reality is almost everything God calls you to do is initially going to involve some level of fear. And so the goal is not how do I fear less, it's how do I trust God more? How do we all get to a place in life where it's almost natural for us to surrender outcomes and surrender details and surrender things back to Him that we want to try to control and manipulate. And some of us struggle with that control and manipulation more than others, but I think all of us, to some degree, as human beings, try to control and manipulate things that we were never created to control and manipulate. So, again, how do we get back to trusting God, to really surrendering Him? Even in these moments in life where you feel fear, and that fear might be over a relationship, it might be over your ministry, it might be over your career, it can be a lot of different things that kind of bring that on. But in the midst of that, how do you trust? How do you surrender?
Right. Okay, well, I have really one, maybe two more questions. I promise you I'll keep it short. So, and this is more about leadership or leading a church, and I envision it being more for the pastors who might listen in. And so it's a twofold question, and you're welcome to not answer, but I was just wondering, you're leading one of the fastest growing churches in America, to put it bluntly. The Crosspoint's doing great things. So what keeps you moving forward, and then what's something that keeps you up at night that pastors may be able to relate to?
That's a very good question, Jason. I would say, I think I'm learning a lot of lessons these days about ministry, and a lot of different lessons just about, I don't know if I'm getting older or what, but I've spent a lot more time lately just kind of looking back and trying to figure out, where have I seen like really healthy success in ministry, and where places I've been out of balance. And I think for me, something I've always battled is I have this people-pleasing spirit about me, where I want people to like me. I want people to approve of me. And to be honest, that can be a really, being in ministry and being a people-pleaser can be a really dangerous cocktail. And I think that it's led me to some unhealthy extremes over the years. And I'm just now kind of, I think, finally getting to a place where I'm doing a little less of trying to please everybody around me and a little more of truly trying to stay focused on what it is that God's called me to do and finding my identity in Him, not in making everybody around me happy.
Right.
And that's been, it's been a tough battle for me. And, I look back early on in my ministry and, early on when you're planting a church, you want it to grow, obviously, and you need people, like, for lots of reasons. You need people to help serve, and you need people to give, and you just need warm bodies around. The temptation for me, again, because I want to make everybody happy, is that everybody, you have a vision for your church, so does everybody else. And I think the tendency for me sometimes was to manipulate people into thinking that, their ideas, even if they didn't match up with our vision, that, I would try to string them along and be like, someone would come with me, like an idea for women's ministry, and I would listen to them. And then in my head, I'd be like, that her idea for women's ministry just doesn't line up with what it is God's called us to do as a church. Instead of saying that, I would say things like, hey, well, let's just, keep praying about it, and who knows, you never know. I'd say little things that aren't, looking back, they're just lies. I was just manipulating people to try to keep them around longer. And, man, if I could go back and change some of those things, I sure would, because, obviously, years later, they're hurt because they feel like you strung him along and you lied to him, and you did. And I deeply regret some of those mistakes that I made. I deeply regret some of the time I spent trying to chase after people's approval that kept me away from my family. Just looking back, some really silly things that came out of that desire to want to just be approved by everybody.
Yeah, anyone in leadership, I think, would resonate with that. And then what keeps you moving forward or working harder and putting out more books and leading new leaders and so forth? So the opposite end of that.
I would say life change. I mean, we have this little saying around Crosspoint. We say everyone's welcome because we believe that nobody's perfect. But we also believe that anything's possible. So we say it all the time, everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect, but anything is possible. And I've just seen this over and over again. Like, when God puts his spirit inside of somebody and they start to catch on to what it means to really follow Jesus. And I don't know, I'm just the life change that I feel like I get a front row seat to watch just inspires the heck out of me. And, you know, when I get a letter from somebody that read one of my books while they were in prison and it transformed the way they view life, I mean, that kind of stuff, man, that just fires me up. And anytime I get to hear some of those life change stories, it truly just motivates me to, you know, because I don't view myself as a writer. I view myself as a pastor, and I've gotten some opportunities to write. But writing in and of itself does not excite me. I'm not going to be super jazzed about writing the next book. But what drives me and what really, you know, I think, you know, keeps bringing me back to the table to work hard to write or to work hard to speak or to work hard to lead a church is life change and just hearing those stories every single time. It just like goes into this, you know, vault in my heart, and I store it up there, and that's where I feel like so much of my energy comes from.
Right. And pastors who are feeling drained too, I think, can be reminded of the impact and the influence that they have on the people that they're leading. That's kind of what you see people get worn out, and you still have opportunity to influence new people and the same people in new ways. So
absolutely, and I think we have to stay focused on that. If we do, we just get exhausted.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's all I have, Pastor Wilson. So I really appreciate it. If there's anything upcoming that you want to mention, or any books, or anything that you'd like to share, you're welcome to do that. But I really appreciate you taking the time to sit with me and chat.
Man, thank you. The only thing I have to say is just thanks for what you're doing, and just want to encourage anybody that's out there right now that's going through a tough time, that, you know, hey, God's with you. And I know a lot of times in our journeys, we all have this mix of belief and unbelief. And my encouragement would be to choose belief, to choose faith in the midst of the doubt, and believe that, you know, there's a God who loves you, has a plan for you, and he's with you every step of the way. Even when you can't see him or feel him, he's with you. And so I hope that'll be really encouraging for somebody today.
Definitely. That's a good word. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you for spending the time with us and answering questions. And I'll definitely get this out and make sure that folks hear it. So once again, thank you, Pastor Wilson.
Sounds awesome. Thanks so much, Jason. Appreciate it.
Yes. Take care. Bless you.
Okay. See you, pal.